D's Bring About Change, a One Piece fan fiction, written by Lyria, read by God of Laundry Baskets. One more night of overtime, keep me up in this box with knuckles white. Well, I got bills to pay and I got mouths to feed. I'm so booty. Then you caught me by surprise with this helpless feeling. Everybody wants to love you. You're the apple of my eye, what I'm always eating. Everybody wants to love you. Those carrying the D initial bring about change. Something Coruscant had told him when they were alone on the road. Law hadn't thought much of it. He believed it, though. Had seen the changes his parents were able to make because of their medicine, and before they had been killed for what they had been trying to do. But nothing had prepared him to see another D. Monkey D. Luffy seemed to bring change wherever he went. For all that Law followed his adventures in the news coup, it was clear that the younger pirate didn't go about murdering or bringing about bloodshed to get his name. Instead, he seemed to be at the right place at the right time and excelled at making sure the paths fate had drawn out were changed. He had noticed it after Alabasta. For all that they were appraising a marine named Smoker for taking down Crocodile, he couldn't help but see Luffy's bounty rise as well. Chuckling, he shook his head. Those idiots at the world government know what he's capable of, and they're trying to hide it all. There's no hiding with a D, least of all someone bearing the surname Monkey. Law hadn't met Monkey D. Garp before, but he did know that the man had done a lot in his lifetime. He had risen through the ranks as a Marine for years until he stayed as a Vice Admiral, no doubt because they couldn't handle someone like him as an Admiral. Additionally, this was not something a lot of people knew, but the Revolutionary Dragon also carried the name Monkey D. It was a well-kept secret, and one Law shouldn't have known about if he hadn't been there when his father was in contact with the man to get as many children out of Flevolence when the rumors started of the world government taking note of them almost reaching a cure. That never happened, but Law had an amazing memory, and he kept that close in case he needed the help of someone else. Even with all of that, nothing had prepared him for Luffy's presence at Sabaody. He was there, and while he didn't show it like Kid did, he was able to fill the room by just being there. Looking like he was enjoying himself, all the while keeping on edge in a way that set Law on edge as well. He hadn't met another D except for his family, but being in the same room as Luffy, he knew that something was going to happen, and soon. Even prepared as he had been, nothing prepared him for the other rookie to knock out a celestial dragon for shooting a fishman, or protect a mermaid, as it appeared she had been captured there on Sabaody. He looked on in awe, as the man didn't care that he had called the wrath of the world government onto himself. All he wanted was to protect those he held dear. Seeing that, seeing him, it all made sense as to why Luffy brought so much change with him. Without even thinking, Law was up and aiding him when the Marines came. His devil fruit useful in taking out large groups of Marines. The way eyes stared at him also helped. It seemed that his own curiosity in the other D was returned. Despite not publicly carrying the initial, Law knew that others could sense it in others. It was one of the main reasons why they often knew to stay away from each other. One D was change waiting to happen. Several Ds in close quarters were either chaos, which might end the world. God Valley came to mind with that. or they worked together in a way that the world wasn't ready for. Again, God Valley on the side of Monkey D. Garb and Gold D. Roger. As they dealt with the Marines, Law turned to Luffy, ignoring Kid, who was standing with them still. Get your crew and go, Straw Hat. We'll hold off anyone else for as long as we're able, but you need to get out of here. For a second, he thought the man would argue. Kid certainly did. Instead, Luffy grinned, thanked him, and got to running towards where his ship must be anchored. Room, he uttered when the next wave of Marines hit, without them being an admiral. Shambles. He split them all apart at the limbs and knocked them out. They would live, he was certain, but this was the best way to deal with them and keep an eye out on the Straw Hats to make sure they got away safely. Beppo, Law called out. Make sure our new recruit is taken care of in the Tang. I'm checking in on Straw Hat, yeah, to make sure they'll get out of here. He didn't wait for his first mate to answer, knowing that Beppo would do as requested. He, Penguin, and Sachi were the only ones on the crew who knew he carried the initial as well. They would never tell, and he hoped the world would never know. But that didn't take away that Law needed to know what happened to Luffy and his crew. It couldn't end here. He would do anything in his power to make sure they didn't end here. Rushing through Savody alone, all the while watching his back when the news hit that Kizaru was here. Law feared that he would be too late, even more so when he heard Luffy call out to someone on his crew. He broke into the clearing at the moment the orange-haired navigator was transported away by Bartholomew Kuma. He had heard of the Warlord of the Sea, but had been unable to find out what he was able to do with his devil fruit. Shit, he uttered, seeing Dark King Raleigh a little back taking on Kizaru, so the Admiral couldn't get to Luffy or the other Straw Hats. As he didn't see any of them anymore, it was a safe bet that they had been transported away already. Without regard to what was going on, Law used Room to teleport to Luffy's side. Straw Hat, get up! The other D was catatonic, so Law heaved him up and onto his feet, dragging him as much as he was able and cursing when the giant body of Kuma gained on them faster than he could get them out. The hand came down before plop. He could feel himself flying, a steady hand on Luffy's arm and no intention of letting go. This wasn't what he had planned, but he wasn't about to let this other D go without seeing if they did bring about change. He wanted to see what Luffy would bring to the world, and call it his own curiosity, but Law wanted to see how the world changed now that there was a new path slowly starting to show. Their landing was a hard one that had Law cursing as he rolled to deal with the impact. It didn't do a lot, but at least neither of them was out for the count. Sitting up, he spat out sand before looking at Luffy. Straw Hat, are you all right? The younger man looked out of it, blinking a couple of times before taking in Law. You're Traffy! Robin told me about you. You're a doctor. Mumbling, he corrected the other man that he was a surgeon, not a doctor, although he didn't do anything to correct the butchering of his name. Sue him for liking it. No one ever called him a nickname, and if the man he was gaining admiration and a certain respect for did it, he couldn't begin to mind. All it did gain was starry eyes looking at him as Luffy declared him so cool. It did wonders for his ego, although Law was someone on guard as to where they had landed. Something must have happened. There was no way that a warlord of the sea would come to their aid. So where had the man sent them? Where are we? He asked, to which Luffy shrugged. In the next moment, however, they were surrounded by women in loincloth, all looking as if they were aliens none of them had seen before. He didn't like it, even when he was ignored when he tried to ask them where they were. He made sure Luffy was with him at all times, although he couldn't help but curse as they were brought before Boa Hancock, another warlord, and one who was known to hate men. She was pretty, from an objective kind of view, but Law didn't think she was that pretty. Neither did Luffy, as her devil fruit gained no reaction from either of them. For whatever reason, that brought about respect from Hancock. Even more so when Law offered to check on some of her ill subjects they didn't know how to treat. Free of charge, as he wanted to get out of this shit show as soon as possible. Their way of dealing with Hancock and the other women on the Isle of Women seemed to help them as well, gaining them food and a place to stay as they tried to gather their thoughts. Luffy tried to think of where his crew could have been sent, but came up empty. Law, never happier that he carried a baby Denden Mushi with him, rang his crew to let them know what happened, telling Beppo to set course for the island without entering its shores. Hancock had been quite clear on that, especially once it became clear that neither Law nor Luffy planned on landing there. They had been sent there against their will, which worked in their favor. What didn't was the newspaper that arrived about 3 days after their arrival, another D on the front page, announcing the execution of Portugas de Ace, another D, which Law believed to be too much to be a coincidence. It wasn't, as Luffy freaked out at the notion of reading that, screaming that Ace was his big brother, that he would do anything he could to rescue his big brother, even if it meant his death. He wouldn't let this happen. He needed to get a plan started. Law could respect that, his mind going to Lammy, and while she wasn't here anymore, he hoped that if she had been, she would react much the same way. Maybe think things through a little more, but still try to get him out of whatever mess he had landed in. Reaching out, he places a hand on Luffy's shoulder. "I'm sure we'll manage. We'll have to get him out of Impel Down if we want to make sure they don't execute him. Once Firefist Ya is in Marineford, everything will become much harder. It's one of the Marines' strongholds, and given what you did to Enies Lobby, I'm certain they've upped security. Even more so as Firefist Ya is part of the Whitebeard Pirates. I don't know the old man well, but I do know he won't let one of his crew just be killed off. He'll be there, and they'll be preparing for that." Hancock also chimed in that Whitebeard saw all of his crew members as his children. He wouldn't let them die. In fact, she seemed to view the man with quite a lot of respect, mentioning that while they never met, her adoptive father had been close friends with him once upon a time. He never had a bad word to say about him either, so she was willing to believe him on that and speak well about him in turn. It started the beginning of a plan, one where Hancock was willing to aid them in getting Luffy into Impel Down. It was well known that she didn't like being summoned, so her asking to see the man she was going to war for seemed reasonable. She conveyed her request, and it was accepted, leading to Law starting to plan how he could get Luffy into that prison and how he could make sure he could get him out as well. What they were attempting hadn't been done before, not like this, and not for someone on level 6, but they would make do with what they had and free Ace. "If he's anything like his little brother, I am certain that he's going to think this is a riot and a half," Law muttered under his breath, turning to Luffy as the younger man took that as an invitation to start talking about how awesome his older brother was, even before his devil fruit, and how he knew that Ace wouldn't just be caught like that. He was worth more, so something had to have happened there. Something that had him pulling his punches in an effort to protect whoever it was his adversary had threatened. During the night, Luffy told Law about Teach and how Ace had warned him about Blackbeard. "He killed one of my Nichan's crew members, and that alone is unforgivable. I saw him in Jaga, and I don't know what to think about him either. Chances are he threatened me, and Ace can't keep a cool head when that happens. He became quiet after that. And if there was one thing Law had learned about Luffy, it was that the other man rarely became quiet. Ace always said that I saved him from himself, as he didn't want to live because what happened to his mom and dad. But the other side is also true. I don't know if I would still be alive if Ace hadn't been there in my life. It was a loaded confession, and one Law didn't know how to deal with. Seeing this side of Luffy was something Law hadn't been prepared for. He knew Luffy wasn't some godly being, but that didn't prepare him to see him so vulnerable so soon. He didn't know what to do. So Law shared his own story, even sharing that he too carried a D, but didn't know how he would be able to bring the change they were attributed with. Luffy listened, and that was all Law needed right at that moment. Sighing at the end, he added, "If I were Aesya, or if it had been Lammy, I hope she would have done as much for me as you're doing for him. He'll know what you mean by it all, and I know I'll be there to catch you if things go wrong." Taking a hold of Luffy's shoulders, he had the younger man looking at him. "Don't do anything foolish. This is still the world's most elite prison you're walking into, and I, for one, want you to walk out of it, too." Luffy nodded, and really, that was all Law needed right now. As he let the younger man drift to sleep, he called his crew to arrange for them to come pick him up. He would follow Long at a distance behind Hancock to be there when Luffy needed him. Call it a hunch, but he knew that Luffy wouldn't be able to do this alone. He wished he could and hoped that they were able to make a difference, but a lot of hope was riding on Ace dying either at Impel Down or in Marineford, and Law knew Luffy wasn't about to let that happen. Eventually sinking down on the beach next to Luffy, Law shook his head. "I had given up hope, you know. But here you are, bringing about that change I didn't think I would ever see again. You're special, Monkey D. Luffy, and I hope you know that." He reached out his hand to stroke over Luffy's hair, but pulled back at the last minute. Pressing a hand to his chest, Law knew that he was feeling something. There was something growing the more time he spent with Luffy. At first, he had believed it to be admiration, but he was aware that it was much more than that right now. Huffing, he shook his head. "You would have liked him, Korra-san. Luffy is the right side of crazy, and the worst part is that I know he'll succeed. I don't know how or when, but he will succeed in things that all of us can only dream of, and I want to be there. I want to be able to see it all happening." With that, he sank into sleep as well, dreaming of happier times, which flipped into a life he hadn't lived yet, one with Luffy at his side, and one where he realized he had a crush on the other man. Waking up during the night, Law looked at Luffy sleeping peacefully beside him and smiled softly. "You're making me feel things I was sure burned up a long time ago." A hand to his heart as he thought back to the before and couldn't help but look forward to what could follow. If his dreams were any indication, it was bound to be epic, but for now, he had a job to do, and he would do it any way he possibly could. Waiting on Luffy at the entrance of Impel Down was the worst thing Law had to do. Even more so when he realized that Luffy hadn't been able to get Ace out, as there was a marine ship leaving at one point. Law had been there for close to 5 days now, and he hoped that Luffy was all right. If he had a chance to get Ace free, he would have taken it, but there was no chance that would work. Not with the amount of marines on the ship or on the docks, and even less as a man didn't even know Law. He didn't want to take a flaming fist to the face, thank you very much, even if the man would be his brother-in-law at one point if everything played out right. Still, Ace was gone, and Luffy hadn't come out of there yet. His crew was urging him to leave it all behind, and he just couldn't do it. Of course, that was the moment that the doors were flung open, and the man himself was standing there, grinning widely as he and a ton of others took over a Marine warship to set out for Marineford. It was only then that Law agreed to sink deeper into the ocean and make their way to Marineford. He shambled himself over to the stolen ship at one point to check up on Luffy, clicking his tongue when he noticed just what was going on, glaring at anyone who asked who he was, at least until he had managed to check Luffy over and pulled out any and all foreign substances still in his blood. If he didn't know Luffy was a D, Law would have been worrying that he was still alive. "You took it too far, Luffy, yeah," he muttered as he put the other man back together where he had used his powers to make sure Luffy would make it to Marineford and through whatever it was that was waiting for them there. Law was scared, he had to admit, as there was certainty that they were only killing Ace for who his father had been, something Luffy had shared while on the Amazon Lily. Law couldn't help but feel for the guy. Something which became even more glaringly obvious at the number of people at Marineford. They all wanted a spectacle, and to take it out on one of the Yonko, someone who would be standing between them as long as he lived. It wasn't hard to deduce, not with the way they were staging all of this. Ace had to die, but they were hoping to start their offensive against the Yonko, starting with the one they knew wouldn't sit quiet and let them change everything. Clenching his jaw, Law looked at Luffy. "You need to be careful out there. I can't just aid you." At the tilted head, he explained that the government had been looking for the Ope Ope Nomi for ages now. They knew Law had it, but he wasn't about to stroll into their fortress of a base when he had no business being there. Luffy should go in and hopefully come out, and Law would keep an eye on everything that was going on. Part of him hated to let go. He had let go once, and look where that had got the person he loved. It might have been soon, but Law was aware that he loved Luffy, that the younger man was the whole reason he was able to try again, because he was there when he needed him. After his family, Coruscant had shown him that he shouldn't give up, but Luffy was the one who was slowly healing his broken heart piece by piece just by being himself. It became clear to Law how it was that D's could bring about such change even now, not 2 weeks after meeting him. Law knew that Luffy had changed his life forever. Nothing prepared him for what Luffy was willing to do to get his brother, though. He kicked and punched even when it was clear he was exhausted, taking aid when it was offered by one of the white-peered pirates, and just kept on pushing. Law cheered just as loud when he got to Ace, when Ace was freed and they were able to make a run for it, grinning widely as he saw the two brothers fighting together, only for that grin to disappear when Akainu caught up to them, the admiral that no one liked. Rumors circulated that the man was willing to do anything if it meant having his ultimate justice prevail. Knowing that Ace and Luffy had gotten out, that they were free, he wouldn't be able to stand that. "Fuck, they're not going to make it," he whispered before turning to Beppo. "Get us as close to the shore as you can while making sure we can get out of here in a moment." His first mate nodded, before Law was making his way to the top of the tank and opening the hatch to look out over Marineford, calling out a room as soon as he saw Luffy down and Ace in the process of throwing himself in between Akainu and his little brother. Law knew it would break Luffy if he lost his brother like that, so he made sure the room reached far enough before switching the two Ds with a seagull and a fish still on top of the tank where they were. Reaching out for Luffy as soon as he landed and cursing at the way the younger man felt. Turning to Ace, he started speaking before anything else could be done. "I'm an ally. I was there with Luffy when he tried to break you out of Impel Down and didn't succeed. I'm why he hasn't collapsed sooner, but he put himself through his paces, Ace, yeah. We need to go, and we need to go now." Ace hesitated just a second, looking back and seemingly catching the eye of someone on his crew as he entered the polar tang, and allowed Beppo to look over him while Law carried Luffy to one of his operating rooms and started to make sure that the other man made it. When he finally did finish operating on Luffy, it was after his heart stopped once on his table, and he wasn't certain when he'd wake up. Law made sure to state when, as he knew Luffy well enough by now that this wasn't about to keep him down. A lot of things could happen, but it seemed that one of the universal truths was that nothing could keep Luffy down for long. As he expected, Ace was waiting for him, bandaged up but looking well enough, all things considered. Law sighed. "Let me just get a coffee, and I'll walk you through it all." That got him a nod, as Ace settled down again, looking as Law prepared himself a coffee the way he liked. His crew were resting. They had kept the polar tang moving while Law operated, making sure that no one could get to them as they got away. They deserved their rest, and he'd make do. Once his cup was filled, Law took a seat across from Ace. "The first thing you need to know is that he ran into Magellan while looking for you, and that didn't end up well for him. He was poisoned to hell and back, and while I managed to extract it, that doesn't take away that it affected his organs already. On top of that, some of the revolutionaries inside injected him with something that was supposed to get him healing faster. I don't know what it was, and they didn't seem inclined to share, but it didn't do him a world of good until I got it out either." A soft smile was on his face as he continued. "There was no stopping him, however, so I patched him up as well as I could do, but it didn't seem to be enough." Looking into Ace's eyes, he narrowed his own. "Throwing yourself into Akinu's path would have destroyed him. I hope you know that. Gods, what is it with D's and dead wishes after everything that had been done to get you out? You would have done this in the end." At Ace's flinch, he knew he did the right thing. Taking in a deep breath and drinking his coffee, Law continued. "He was dehydrated and had lacerations from whatever was done to him trying to get to you. I dealt with all of that, including the start of frostbite where Akoji got to him. He had 3 broken ribs that I set that need to be kept stable as they heal, an internal bleeding from the hits he got that were no doubt Hokai-coded as his devil fruit would have been able to deal with the other." Finishing, he touches Ace's shoulder slowly. "From one big brother to another, I would have been mad, but so very proud if my baby sister managed to do everything that he had done. It's okay to be mad, even if you're happy he got you out." Ace let out a wet sob. "He's always been like this, able to get up regardless of what happened to him. He's my everything. Even if I have the white beards, he's the reason I am here today. He doesn't finish. Law doesn't need him to. Despite not knowing Luffy as long as Ace no doubt knows him, he can see what kind of person he is. A small smile appeared. "He's certainly something. I always wondered what D's stood for, as I don't think I have much to go on despite carrying the initial. But seeing him, what he's been able to do and how he's doing it, it has given me hope." The laugh it gets out of Ace almost makes it worth it, and gives Law the peace of mind that he isn't about to get hit in the face by his crush's older brother. When Ace shares some of his own stories about Luffy, it's clear to Law that he's gone and went for the insane one anyway. Something that he doesn't know how to deal with, but knows he'll manage anyway. "So, how did this whole thing happen? As I know rookies don't normally help each other like this." His gaze is curious, so Law answers. He tells Ace about the auction house, as well as Luffy's way of dealing with the Celestial Dragon, followed by being sent away by Kuma, and only having the other. How Luffy had such an odd way of looking at the world, and still believing that a change could be made. He's looking Ace in the eye as he states, "I didn't plan for this, and that alone is making me anxious. He's there when I need him, and that alone makes me aware that, while I get annoyed, he is someone I need in my life, if that makes sense. Oddly enough, Ace does understand, even going into detail, how he hated life at one point until this sunshine boy of a kid came storming in and never left. It's when they calmed down a bit that Law speaks again. He'll be fine. He is still out cold, but he needs that to heal. I'm certain that he'll make it out of all of this soon enough. They don't get to talk more as the first rays of the sun pass over them. At the same time, the sound of something heavy landing on top of the polar tank has Law on edge. They're quite far from land, so what was it that found them? He and Ace exchange a look, having bonded over their shared love for Luffy, setting out to go and check it out. Law is on edge, as he can think of several things that could get to them here. None of them are good. On top of that, his crew is sleeping, so right now it is just him and Ace that are able to take on whatever it is that is here. Slowly opening the hatch, he is acting before he even realizes what he's doing, Ace taking hold of his arm before he activates his devil fruit, his eyes wide as he looks at the blonde standing there. Marco! All of it makes sense now. In that the first division commander of the Whitebeard Pirates flew out to find them. He must have been the one Ace looked at before he followed Law into the polar tank. He doesn't know if he is happy or not, but he can breathe easier knowing that it isn't an adversary. Come on in. Law motions to the ladder leading into the submarine, but Marco shakes his head. Nah, I don't do well with tight spaces, Yoy. I came to check up on Ace and invite you to a nearby island under our protection, Trafalgar Law. He's agreeing to that without hesitation, noting down what Marco is telling him before Ace offers to help his navigator. He knows these waters, and despite people not knowing, the second division is the navigation on board, so he can help them just fine if Law is okay with that. Waking Beppo, Law allows Ace to take control and lead them towards the island while he goes to check in on Luffy. Finding that he is breathing easier, enough that he can do it with a mask instead of a breathing tube. He's still out for the count, but maybe that's for the best right now. Once at the island, Ace was off to see his own crew, while Law stayed behind with Luffy and his crew. For all that it was clear that the Whitebeard Pirates were their allies, it didn't sit well with Law for now. He didn't know them. He had gotten to know Ace in the few days they had been on the polar tang, but that didn't mean he could do all of this now. Going to Marineford had been stupid enough, as there might have been something going on that could have got them captured, and he never wanted that. Sitting by Luffy's side, he sighed. You're making me do things I never would have done before. You have no idea the influence you have on me. As expected, Luffy stayed silent, which was somewhat odd as Law didn't know Luffy as being stationary. Ace had shared that Luffy was never like this before either. It was making them somewhat scared for the future. Yet, whatever happened now, at least it would mean that there were people there able to look over Luffy as he healed. Shaking his head, Law whispered, For the longest time, I expected to be alone, and here my crew comes along. They all just pushed against my walls until I let them in. But you just flattened them all of a sudden and made yourself right at home in my heart. It shouldn't have gone that fast. I never expected to fall in love that fast, but here you are. When he looks down again, Luffy's eyes are open, which has Law letting go of the hand he had been holding and yelping as he startled. Luffy just giggled, Taro is interesting, but it's nice that it goes two ways. His face turns serious, as much as he can with the breathing mask still on his face. Thank you for saving me and Ace. I don't know what I would have done if I had lost him. As much as he doesn't want to think about it, Law knows what Luffy would have done, and the mere notion that someone like him could break like that hurts as well. While it took him a while, he settled back down and took a hold of Luffy's hand once more. But that didn't happen, and he wasn't even all that hurt. He needs to rest, but he's doing that with his own crew. As if that was what was needed, the hatch opened before Ace's voice sounded. "Permission to board?" Frowning, Law opened the door to Luffy's room. "Granted." Luffy frowned in turn. "Something is wrong. Ace sounds wrong." There was no time to ask for more information as Ace opened the door to Luffy's room. His face did indeed show him dealing with something. It did clear up when he saw Luffy was awake. "Lou!" As he settled down on Luffy's other side, Law and Luffy exchanged a look before looking at Ace again, their eyes taking in the slump of his shoulders and the pale skin of his face. Something had to have happened in the few hours that Ace had been spending with the Whitebeard Pirates. What could have happened? "Ace," Law uttered. "You all right?" That was all it took for Ace to shake his head. He bit his lip before he shared that Whitebeard hadn't made it off of the battlefield. His injuries had been too severe. He'd been too old, which led them loading on a corpse instead of their father. It's clear that he had a hard time with all of that. From what Law knew from Luffy and Ace himself, this had been the crew he had felt at home the most. So to have the person who took him in dying didn't help after everything that had happened with Teach and later on with Marineford. Sighing, Ace ran a hand through his hair. "Marco told me they needed a new captain. Despite everything, a lot of people lived through it all, and they want to be able to sail more. But it needs to be a good captain." I was going on about the fact that a first mate became captain after something happened, but he told me that he and Oyaji had another man in mind. Luffy smiled. "They asked you?" It was odd to know that Luffy could deduce as much. Law saw the appeal, though. He had known Ace was a captain before. He had been quite well known before his spades joined the Whitebeard Pirates. Ace let out a whine before Luffy was looking at Law and taking off his breathing mask. Where otherwise he would be quite strict with his patients, Law was happy Luffy was awake already. He helped in getting all the lines off and helped him to stand. Smiling softly, as Luffy shuffled over to Ace to slip into his lap and hug him tightly. "You're a great captain, Nichan, and it's nice to know your crew sees that as well. I know this is hard, and I don't know the old man, but he looked like fun, so think about what he would have wanted for you and for the crew." Blinking at yet again another side of Luffy, Law smiled softly as well. "You told me you loved that crew so much, Asia. Why not see this for the same in their eyes? They love you enough to want you to be their captain so close after losing Whitebeard-san." That seems to be the last piece before Ace is sobbing into Luffy's shoulder, wrapping his arms around his little brother and just holding on, hiding his face as he lets his grief take control for a little while. The longer it goes on, the more Law realizes that Ace never truly took the time to grieve the man that Blackbeard had killed. Now, with the death of his Oyaji, this was just adding to it all to the point that he broke. Grief did awful things to people. Law would know. But to see someone he had come to view as strong break like this wasn't easy to see. For a second, he wondered if he should leave, but he couldn't. Found that he was mesmerized by Luffy just hugging his brother and humming some nonsense little song to get him through it all. Never letting go, just being there for Ace to get strength from now that he wasn't able to keep up with everything that was happening. Hearing Luffy whisper, Law sees that Ace has fallen asleep. Something that Luffy explains as a condition which his brain quickly connects to narcolepsy. He helps Luffy put Ace into bed and leaves the brothers alone for a second. Right now, he knows that they need time to heal, mentally and emotionally, while he should go and see where the Whitebeard Pirates are so they're aware their wayward commander is on his ship once more. Running into Marco the Phoenix on the shore, he lets a man know that Ace is inside and sleeping. He knows another doctor when he sees one, so he adds, "It was all a little bit too much and he broke. Luffy Yaw took care of it, but it triggered a narcolepsy attack, so they're both taking a nap." He can see the way Marco relaxes, smiling softly as he nods at Law before turning back to go to the crew. With one as large, it's obvious that it needs minding. Their next shock comes about 3 days later. Ace and Luffy spend a lot of time with Law, but he's aware that the older of the two is seriously considering taking on the mantle of captain. He would be amazing at it. They could both see, but it's up to Ace in the end to make that choice. No, what scares them all is the Sea King being sighted before it all but sinks, and someone comes to shore as if they do this every day. Marco sighs. Riley, yoy. The sight of Ray the Coder from Sabaody making his way onto the beach is a shock, especially once Marco reveals the man's whole name. It isn't that hard to connect him to Silver's Rayleigh, and the man who, at one point, was the left hand of the Pirate King. Ace seems to be on guard as soon as he sees the man, except that Rayleigh only nods before making his way to Luffy. That has both Law and Ace on edge until the man reveals he knows all of Luffy's crew is safe, or as safe as they can be, and he wants to train him for what is to come next. "You're going to go far, kid, and I want to be there to see it all. We have all been there, at the end, and I know that you'll make it there as well," he says, almost like a promise. To know that someone from Roger Pirates believes in Luffy like this, it has to mean something. With a small smile, Law sees Luffy beam at the praise, before he and Riley start talking about what he'll need before he can make it in the new world. Ace pitches in, now and again, adding little bits and pieces like Luffy's Hakai and the way they grew up in the jungle and how that influenced them all. He looks at Riley with intent, and Law sees it for what it is. Whatever is going on in Ace's head where he doesn't want anything to do with his father's crew, he is trusting Riley with the care of his younger brother. He needs Luffy to be strong enough to get through this all, especially as he'll be a new world captain soon enough. That last bit of information is clearly news for the Whitebeard Pirates, as they all need a moment to process before they're cheering and pulling Ace into hugs left and right. To know that their chosen captain is willing to become captain is more than they could want. On top of all of that, it's the start of a new era for them, too. With Marineford and Teach still around, they need to get back to their feet, at one point, to stop the world from thinking their crew died with its first captain. It won't be easy, but at least it's something that can happen. Riley nods once, before he's turning back to Luffy to explain what it is they're doing. All too soon after, they're saying goodbye. Law wants to say he's surprised when Luffy takes a hold of his hand and asks that he's there when he and his crew make it to the new world in 2 years, leaving Law nothing else to say than yes. "I'll be there, if you promise you'll be there in one piece. I won't be there to patch you up during the next 2 years, Luya. I'll make my way to the new world already and see what it can bring me," Law mutters. It gets him a giggle before Luffy's leaning up and pressing their lips together in a soft kiss. It's everything he could want, leaning into the kiss. His hand comes up to cup Luffy's cheek before he's deepening the kiss just briefly, pulling back the longing in both of their eyes as they settle back. Law sighs. 2 years. In Fishman Island. Don't be late. Laughing, Luffy shakes his head. 2 years. I'm sure the Yonko looking over that island won't mind, he adds with a cheeky grin in the direction of his big brother. Ace laughs before shaking his head. I don't mind, for either you or Law. Be careful out there, Luffy. They hug, and then Law gets one more hug before Riley leaves with Luffy. It leaves Law standing there, saying his goodbyes to Ace and his crew, promising to look after himself, and grateful for the Denden Mushi number he now has in case he needs it on the other side of the red line. He knows the new world is something else than the first half of the Grand Line, and that's scary as well. But he knows that with the allies he's made, no matter how unintended, whatever happens, he'll make it out of there in one piece. Law arrives at Fishman Island first, sighing in relief that he made it in time. He had been scared for a moment there, but he managed just fine. No one else is here, even if the royal family and the Fishman pirates know to expect him. Jinbei is there to greet him. They're meeting after Marine Ford brief, but enough to know that the man will be joining Luffy at one point in time. "Aw, you're the first one here," he is greeted. Smiling back, Law sighs in relief again. "Good. I was worried we'd be late with everything going on. Have you heard anything from Asia?" At Jinbei's nod, he relaxes even more, looking over his crew now that they had time to explore this island. All of them look forward to meeting the other Straw Hats, as Luffy had been a riot and a half. Ace arrives about a day later, a big smile on his face as he greets Law. There is a blonde at his shoulder that Law doesn't recognize, but blinks as Ace introduces him as Sabo, the third brother he and Luffy shared, adding what had happened but wanting to surprise Luffy with it once he arrived. "He found me about 6 months after Marineford. I don't think I have seen the crew this on edge before. Deuce and Marco especially, as they knew about him, so they weren't that eager to trust someone on face value after everything. But he's the real deal," Ace cheerfully shared. With a grin, he leans to the side. "Law? Sabo. Sabo, our little brother's boyfriend, Trafalgar Law. Be nice." The warning at the end makes it clear that Sabo is the one to look out for. He does have this guarded look to him, one that gets explained with time, as he is the second in command of the Revolutionary Army. That takes a specific skill set, and one that Law can already see Sabo has. Luffy arriving is done with quite the show, as it seems that someone formerly of the Fishman Pirates isn't happy with how things are going. As Jinbei and his crew are busy with the human pirates, he tries to make a change and kidnaps the royal family. The only one not kidnapped is Princess Shirahoshi, who is meant to be his bride in some twisted sense of conquest. Neither Ace nor Law can react as they are subdued in the crowd as the royal family is put on display, at least until Luffy pops up and makes sure that Hody and Vaden, Decker, are reminded that they aren't the top of the food chain. Luffy doesn't do unneeded violence, but he will protect those he cares for, or those that gave him food. He perks up as soon as he sees Ace and Law bouncing over them with a huge grin on his face, his crew following and greeting Ace, those that know him at least. All the while, Luffy leans in to press a kiss to Law's lip with a sappy grin. "You came." Leaning down to press their lips together again, Law adds, "I promise, didn't I?" It's at that moment Luffy recognizes there is someone else there. Law can see some recognition in his boyfriend's eyes, but it takes Robin and Ace naming the blonde standing there that has him in tears and hugging Sabo. Ace and Robin explain that Sabo is the third brother, who they believed had been killed at 10 years old. He survived but had amnesia. He had been saved by the Revolutionary Army and stayed with them ever since. No one had known, and they'd mourned him, at least until the news broke that Ace and Luffy had managed to get away. He'd been searching for them since then, and only found Ace after 6 months. Hearing their little brother was all right helped there, too, to the point that he had promised to be there when Ace went to meet him, which is what was happening now. The Straw Hats were used to their captain's antics, it seemed, as they just shook their heads and moved in to talking to Ace and his crew, or Jinbei, once it became clear that he felt the need to apologize to Nami for what Arlong did to her and her island. Law, meanwhile, stayed there for when Luffy needed him, mingling a little, but leaving that to his crew for the most part, opening his arms as soon as Luffy released Sabo and hugging his boyfriend close. Part of him is very happy that he would be able to spend more time with Luffy now. Last time had been too short. Altogether on the seas of the New World, it becomes very obvious that Luffy is a herald for change. Looking back at Dressrosa, Zoo, Whole Cake Island, and eventually Wano, Law shakes his head as he looks over his lover turned god, thinking back to the time he had met the other man, and looking back, seeing all the changes he had managed to manifest. "You're just ridiculous, Luffy-ya, but that makes it fun. I hope Ace and Sabo are aware of what happened, or they'll be rushing here to see if you're all right with your Vivre card burning up. Then again, I did see Marco down there somewhere, so your brother can't be far." Leaning back, he grins. "D's bring about change, and you, darling, bring about change, freedom, and revolution wherever you go." The end. Thank you for listening.